the last time we spoke, I asked you if you like to play covers. And you said, well, we don't ever want to butcher anything, but when we like to play covers so that we can show our appreciation for them. So how did you approach the idea of this cover song project?
Well, the idea came up as a way to kind of get people to go back to Trio BC. A lot of Trio BC was actually a lot of music that was influencing us. Like Nina was getting into Sonic Youth, and our grandfather's band was an influence on the record, named after his band. So we came up with this like concept of, why don't we show a lot of people like the bands that we're into and why we sound the way we do and why our music's very, like, you'll have a blues song and then you'll have a rock song and then, you know, we have a ballad. So we just sat down and came up with that concept and decided to pick some of our favorite songs and just kind of expose the kids to our influences and stuff. So.
Well, you can hear all the influences of these cover songs in your original music, I think, already. I mean, you know, you've got Waltz Time and things like El Monte from Trio BC. You've got, you know, 80s pop influence and new wave influence in your music, as well as punk influence. You can hear it, and then it's all in these covers and these originals as well. Even going back to something like the Come On, Let's Go, because it's got such a great pop sound to it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of the big things that we wanted to do, was just show. And I think a lot of like the younger generation, they don't know a lot of these bands, surprisingly. And, you know, they're quick to just want to hear what's on TV now. So we thought this was just a great way to, you know, there's Selena and there's Richie Valens and there's Patsy Cline. And this is the reason, you know, that we do a lot of the stuff we do.
How many songs did you start with on your list?
I think it's like 20. A full page of things. Just from Jeff Buckley to Elvis to Tom Waits, there's a lot of things to choose from. But then we just narrowed it down to these songs where we could actually make our own in a weird way, and they weren't too difficult to relearn.
You referenced, of course, that your grandfather helped influence Trio BC and the name of the album, and you know, but I understand that your mother influenced some of the choices.
Oh yeah, definitely the Beatles. Yeah. My mom's a huge Beatles fan, and that was something we grew up, you know, waking up to her playing the vinyls, and so, you know, there it made us fans. So, and Patsy Cline was another of her records being played. So.
Did your mom do like my mom, where she, and I'm doing it to my kids now too, where you sing along with the radio?
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely. Mom's very passionate. She would like sing us the lyrics and then she'd be like, listen to this line. And you know, this is what this means. And so, you know, now we know what every song means and you know, what every line is. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. You're laughing, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just the way she ended it. It's cool.
It's cool, man.
Well, I referenced before we began today, one of the songs I really enjoyed as part of this project is hearing the Joy Division song Transmission, which is a really spare arrangement, and I wanted to know how y'all came about with the arrangement of the song.
Originally, when we first, that was one of the last songs we worked on, because it was a certain amount of time we had to work on these songs before we went in to record them, and I was kind of just stumped. I didn't know what to do to it, and I didn't think at the time, just make it bare, just strip it down and focus on the vocals. And Greg Collins, who we worked with again, who we worked with on Trio BC, it was his idea of, let's focus on the voice and the melody of it, because nobody really focuses on his words. Everyone automatically thinks about the guitar, and especially in that song, and the bass line. And so he had me go in the booth. He did this little drum beat on his computer. And then I went in there, and he says, just sing it soft. And it was fun, because I've always wanted to do a song where I sing like that, where it's just really chill. And I just went in there, did a rough vocals, and then we just started piling things on top of it. And at the end, it just became huge, just huge thing, and then layering vocals. So it was just an idea that we should have thought of in the first place, but then he just brought it out in us. And which is the best thing about working with Greg Collins is, he brings out things that we just have hidden in the corner and we just dust it off. Like, oh,
that was the first time
you're right.
For us kind of just arranging a song on the spot. Like the drum parts, I wrote it. He's like, all right, now play. And like without any rehearsal, and I'm like, okay. Just kind of just wrote itself out. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Fonny, you're a big Tejano fan of the group. Is that correct? You're the Tejano fan?
I can be.
Oh, okay. Who was it that brought the idea of doing a Selena cover?
That's all of us. Yeah. I mean, like, she's been a big part of our lives. I mean, first with Fonny and I growing up, we went to Longfellow Middle School. It was the CD to have. If you didn't have it, then you know.
You were a nerd.
You were a nerd, yeah. So, and then Nina and her mom, it's been blasted all over the house. Like, we just were such big fans of hers, and the movie came out, and even more so, I like those kind of rock and roll movies. It really, like, this is what happened, in a sense, you know, with a little movie magic, but to really kind of get you going, like, yeah, right. So we all knew that we wanted to do it. There's so many similarities with Selena and us and Nina and Selena. So we knew that we had to do one. And this was the one song that when we heard, we're like, it already has this, like, growl to it, this, like, rock and roll secret edge minus the horns. Mm-hmm. And so all we had to do is, you know, like, just rough it up a little bit and make it ours, like, a little punky. And we enjoyed it. And we've been playing it live recently, and people are going nuts. And it's just one of the funnest covers that we're playing, for sure.
What do you feel the similarities are between you and Selena, then?
Definitely the Nina starting young and her starting young and being on the road. And
being a family band. We're a family band. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Mm-hmm. I go on.
You're telling her story better than she can.
When the movie first came out, I was in elementary school, and that's when I first started thinking about wanting to play music. And then when I was 12, I started playing guitar, and she was really, really young when she started too. And then the whole Fonny being the drummer, and her sister is a drummer, and my brother plays bass too, but he's not in a band or anything. But
I'm your brother.
Oh, yeah, Jen's the brother. But that's the, and then just growing up, different. You know, you think you miss out on some things because you didn't have this normal teenage life, but in actuality, you brought on more things than you could ever imagine. You didn't have to deal with. You dealt with your own kind of dramas and dramas that other people don't really deal with, and you're grateful for that because it makes you, I guess, stronger in your own way. I mean, if you compare yourself to other people that are your own age now, you kind of see how trivial some things can be.
Well, how do you feel different then? You said some things can be trivial that other teens have had to grow up with. Then how different do you feel then from other folks that went through their teenage years without being in a band, because lots of teens are in a band.
Yeah.
But not every teen is in a band that really gets signed to a label and starts touring and all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you see how they can get caught up in the little dramas of of life and relationships and stuff. I guess the difference with me is when I have a bad relationship, I just write a song about it and I'm able to perform it, but then I'm able to sing it over and over and over and over and relive it every time with them. You know, they could just forget about it and, you know, have somebody else. But I mean, it's I have a lot, you know, I have my best friends, and it's the only thing that's upsetting is you leave and then they're doing their things and you can't always be there for them. You can't be there when they're going through their things. You come back and you hope that you can just start off where you left off on. But I start getting all emotional. But in the long run, you know, I don't think I could ever imagine my life being any other way, or my friends' lives, you know, because I think we balance each other out in that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, another song that you've covered as part of this cover project is, speaking of emotion, is a David Bowie song that's not one of his more well-known songs, but it's from a cult movie. It's from the movie Legend. And were you big fans of the movie? Is that how you came across the tune?
Oh, it's Labyrinth.
Oh, Labyrinth.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. They're similar.
Else.
Yeah, we were all fans of that movie. And when we saw the movie, we were like, man, that song is so beautiful. Like, it's so pretty. And I think Nina just came up with the idea, why don't we do that? Let's do that song. We're like, oh, that'd be awesome. So we wanted to do it kind of our way and, you know, just like the rest of the covers.
It's one of those movies that everybody knows about. Like, and I used to have the tape, the soundtrack, when I was a teenager, and we would drive around listening to it.
And the lunchbox and the
yeah.
And jacket. The t-shirt.
And it's like everybody knows that song, but and it's a good song, but no one's ever covered it. And we thought, well, let's do it. You know, and it kind of reminds us of like a trail from Trio BC, kind of just very emotional and builds up. And we just thought it was fitting.
Now, you recently played a gig at South by Southwest in Austin at the music festival there with Sherry Curry, who was Joan Jett's bandmate in the Runaways in the 1970s. And Jett is the one who signed you to Blackheart Records. So how was it to play with Curry on stage, and what did she have to say about y'all's sound?
It was amazing. I mean, a couple South by Southwest ago, I was able to actually play with Joan and a couple of other Blackheart label mates, a couple of songs. And this time around, being with Sherry, it was great. She you see her backstage, she's really chill, and then she goes on stage and it's on. You know, she does her thing. And as soon as she came up there, she said she really liked our sound. And I think it's just kind of at the moment you just don't want to mess up, and then afterwards you look back at it and you see it and you think, wow, I really did that.
Yeah, and we felt totally like cool. I mean, like cooler. Like we don't. I guess we never really think about, oh, we're so cool. But when we were the backup band for her, we just felt like, yeah.
And Jen's lips naturally snarled. And
I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And
she's doing all these pelvic pushes. It's great.
Yeah, we're like, where are those moves coming from, Jen?
Yeah, right. Shut up. But it felt good. Like, you know, we were fans of hers to begin with. And, you know, it's one thing opening up for Morrissey. And, you know, that's great, too, meeting him. But to actually perform with the people that you admire so much, that's awesome. And it's like they leave a little rock and roll
fairy dust or something.
Fairy dust. Sprinkling, on you, yeah.
Pixie dust, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, oh, that was awesome. Like,
it's pretty cool, too, because we were able to get to see the Runaways movie before we did that. So that kind of got us ready for, wow, she's going to sing and we're going to play for her. And you kind of get a glimpse into what her life was like.
And what did you think of the movie?
I thought good. They did a great job at playing the characters. Christian did wonderful at being Joan. It was as if we were seeing Joan on stage.
I forgot that was Christian Stewart really fast. Seems good.
Now, it seems that there's a great confluence of events here. I mean, you have the Runaways movie coming out. You have Joan Jett and Sherry Curry here in attendance, and you know, I think Kristen Stewart even name checks you guys in an interview that she did with MTV or some other television channel here. So you've been able to get hopefully a lot of new people having their ears and eyes on your music, I guess.
Yeah, it was just good timing,
and especially for like somebody like Kristen Stewart, just because there's a lot of young girls look up to her, and maybe they don't know too much about, you know, underground music or anything, but the more girls we can influence, the better. That's what I was talking about with the girls, is like the more girl groups that can pop up now, the better. Like, you know, the music industry is all weird anyway, like right now. We might as well creep in and take it over or something. But that would be really cool. So,
is it still difficult, you think? I mean, because in the Runaways, of course, in the 1970s, they were like, it's the big first girl punk, you know, hard rock band. I mean, how different is it? Is it different now than it was then from stories you've heard from Joan and Sherry?
I think it's a little easier, but we still get, you know, stuff for being all girls and stereotyped.
Yeah, stereotyping. And
we don't know what we're doing, and you don't know what this is for, or, you know.
The other day, we played a show in the Valley, and this promoter thinks we were dumb or something. You know, it's like, you know, business is business. We're smart girls. We've been touring a lot. So, you know, these girls don't know anything, or, you know, it's like, come on.
And then even, like, physically, they want to talk about you still. You know, like, Jen, we don't have like model bodies, and you know, but they still want to point out, this is how you look, and you have to look this way as a female versus guys. It still happens, so you still got to deal with it.
Yeah. Double standard crap, but whatever, we don't care.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jen, Fani, and Nina, thank you again for your time.
Sure. Thank you for having us.